This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
Condesa, Roma, and Polanco are two notable neighborhoods in Mexico City. Your solo travel advisor, Astrid Clements, goes into the sights, sounds, museums, eateries, hotels, all the wonderful things to experience. This episode is not just an adventuresome travelogue, it's also filled with strategy. How to see and do all the top things, max out your Mexico City visit in a place that is so geographically big. I'm producer Catherine O'Brien. Astrid advises that Roma Condesa and Polanco are two definite places to be. Let's hear more. Here's Astrid.
The area is Roma Condesa. And this was really in the early 20th centuries where the elite and the wealthy of Mexico lived. It was a very elegant, fashionable area, tree-lined streets, parks, green spaces, just very, very upper crust with a Spanish kind of like a flavor to it, I guess you would say. But they had a lot of different architecture in this area. Well, what happened is kind of in the 50s, 60s, people started to move out into another area, into Polanco, which I will talk about in the last key area. So now this whole area has these wonderful bones of all of these great mansions and buildings and hotels and market arcades. Well, it's become the Bohemian district. And Roma is like super hipster with lots of cutting edge restaurants and bars. Condesa is a little bit more upscale. It's more posh and chic, but it's young. And so it's really cool. It's really cool because it's got a lot of wonderful architecture and bones that it keeps that air of upper crust. But then it's like very relatable too now because it's got all kinds of different people that are hanging out there. Now, where to stay? There are probably four places you can consider, and each one of them a little bit different. We'll start with the one I stayed in that I liked the hotel very much. It was not fantastic, but I really did like it, and I knew what I was getting before I went there. This hotel is very old and very famous. It's called the Hotel Genevieve Ciudad de Mexico. Well, this was $65 a night. I mean, that's like roadside inn. That's almost like camping at the campgrounds. But this is an old world, very historic hotel. I mean, you walk in and there are antiques all over. There's a big library seating area in the lobby. Off of it, you've got a very classical bar with nightly entertainment. Then you've got this gorgeous black and white marble promenade. And on the right, you've got this beautiful restaurant with skylights and birds in cages and vines growing off it. I mean, the hotel is beautiful in terms of old Mexican architecture. And in it, it has a spa. It even has a barbershop, an old barbershop. All I could think of is a long time ago, like I said, this is where the elite lived in. And that man, some deals went down at this hotel. And all kinds of things happened here because it seemed like a kind of hotel that had a lot of back entrances. But it's very historic. It does have a little spa. I got a nice massage there one day. And for $65 a night, oh my gosh, you cannot really beat it. The only thing is the rooms are not quite as nice as I wish they would be. But everything else was quite acceptable.
When I saw you post pictures on Instagram of this hotel, that just seeing the outside, I thought, once again, Astrid, has you hone in on these like sort of cool, historic, something unique about them. You have a knack for finding these places to stay.
I'm not going to brag, but I must say I do. That's what the reason why I've started. Well, I do these podcasts and share that and do my blogging and my website because I seem to be like a honing pigeon or something. I just end up finding it. I find that like the best place to buy jewelry in the whole city. And who will really bargain? And who's this magic chef? I think that's one of the reasons why I still love to travel all over, because I have all these serendipitous magic moments that I'm thinking, you know, that was like shy of a miracle that all this happened.
Seeing the pictures, I was like, that place has character.
Oh, reeking. And like I said, when you go in, you can say, boy, you could just feel the deals that had been done in this place. That's all I can say. Now, it's not the place to be anymore, but it's still considered 5-star, and it's nice enough, I'll put it that way. The rooms are what I did not super like, because number one, the bed was so hard. But I found beds in Mexico in general are hard. So just know that. There's one hotel I'm going to tell you that has a pillow top bed at the end of the show. So, okay, so that's one. And that was $65 a night. Now, whoo, that's really getting down. The next one is the Green Park Hotel, and it's $101 a night. It's also old world, and it's across from the Chapultepec or whatever park, and I'll be saying this wrong numerous times on the show because it is a major park that's got a lot of cool things there to do. But this is a very nice boutique hotel, kind of on the British tradition with Spanish influence. So it's very nice. And for $101, I mean, you know, here again, it would be $225, $250 in New Orleans, easy. So that's another old world pick. Now, you got two others that are more modern and still have old world architecture. The first one is the Hippodrome Hotel in Condesa. That is a small hotel. It's a boutique hotel, but it's adults only. So if you want to go somewhere where there are no kids, there will be no kids, it's the Hippodrome. And it's basically old world architecture with a lot of modern furniture and feel and everything. And it's a cool place. Lots of people go there. It just has a certain thing about it. And with its adults only, that kind of tells you everything about it. Then the last one is probably the nicest one, is Condesa DF on Avenida Veracruz, $160 a night. Old world again, bones, but modern updates and feel and decor. Great spa. They have a hammam actually in the spa, a cinema, library, rooftop pool. I mean, this one is the best one in this Condesa Roma area. So then things to do. First is the Bosque de Chapultepec, or the Chapultepec Park. This is a huge park. It's a central park of Mexico City, and it is exquisite. It's beautiful. It has a huge lake in one area of it. It's 1,600 acres. It's got these long, nice walking paths, big, some smaller, beautiful monuments and sculptures of Aztecs, gods, and military Mexican dignitaries and important people that had some kind of prominence in Mexican history or in the presidential residence there. The former presidential palace is in this park. A fantastic zoo. You might not want to go to the zoo, but sometimes some zoos are not just zoos. They're kind of like gardens with animals in them. I mean, zoos can be just for kids, or it could be more than that. It can take on a higher consciousness or presentation. And I think this zoo is in that direction. Then there is several must-do, highly important museums in this park. And then you've got the markets that are all kind of woven in this area, these little vendors that are everywhere, and then the street food and the music. You know, you really could spend a half a day in this park every day and just enjoy people watching, look at some of the ethnic crafts that are being sold by some of these vendors. And, you know, I find that so enjoyable. Even if you don't buy anything, going and looking at what these people made by hand. It's a gift of love as well as trying to earn a living doing this. But this is something from their past generations that they learn that they're doing for various reasons. And I love to see that. Anybody speaks English, I always try to ask them a lot of questions. But this park has all kinds of things going on. So it is beautiful. So that is a must do. Then in this park is probably the most important thing to see and do in Mexico City. Granted, Zocalo with the Templo Mayo is very good and everything that I've talked about. But this is the museum or the Museo de Antropología or the Museum of Anthropology. Even if you aren't into museums, this museum is the big kahuna. This museum is definitely on the level of Smithsonian or better. But what it is it houses the artifacts of all of the different indigenous tribal and pagan cultures of Mexico.
Wow.
Whether it's Aztec, Toltec, Mayan, Olmecs, all these other branches off. And I mean, it is in depth. Minimum takes you 4 hours to go through it. And you really ought to do a couple of areas and take a break. And then another couple of areas and take a break. And then another couple of areas and take a break and then leave. I mean, minimum 4 hours, but you could really spend almost the entire day there. And what's so nice about this is they take each kind of area and tribe and start from their very beginnings, the very beginnings of these areas around, could be as early as 100 BC and takes them up to 1521, you know, when the Spanish came and colonialized this area. It's huge, first of all, this museum. And the things that you're going to see there, from the jewelry to the carvings, to the sculpture, to the costumes, to the different types of architecture and symbolisms that the different tribes used to exercise their faith and develop the spiritual aspect of their lives and in keeping their loved ones and their tribes thriving, and all of the connection to the heavens and everything. I must confess, before I started now traveling to Mexico, I much preferred European and even Middle Eastern and African kind of ancient things to see and understand. But this whole part of the world, Mesoamerica, I mean, there's some fantastic things that happened a long time ago that are there to see, that are mysterious, that are magnificent, that are awe-inspiring. Like in this museum, they have this iconic Aztec calendar stone. It's this huge stone, and it's all carved, and everything on it has all the significance to the heavens and how they're planting. It's as holy as anything you could see in whatever religion. It's magnificent. And then they have the statue of Xochipilli, and he was the Aztec god of art, games, beauty, dance, and maze. Things that are so exquisite and so miraculous almost. They're all in this place. Then also off of each area, they have outside depictions, whether they recreate a village or a more primitive setting. And it's beautifully done. I mean, exquisitely done. So take your time here, because this place is fabulous. It is fabulous. Anybody who's ever gone to Mexico City and who's been there and you talk about, oh, well, yeah, I went to Mexico City, the first thing you say, did you go to the Museum of Anthropology?
Wow.
Because if they went, they're going to have this kind of reaction that I'm talking about. Even children who don't know anything about culture or whatever, who want to go home the minute you try to, well, they go in there and they go, oh, it's one of the best museums I've ever been in the world. So,
and it's worth the 4 hours that you'd be spending on it?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, you could spend the whole day there. Wow. If you really want to try to absorb it, because there's so much. And I always start off reading everything. And and then after a while, you just kind of go, well, yeah, that looks like the other thing. And what? But you're doing it a disservice because there's a lot there. And it's so different because the tribes that live closer to the oceans, whether the Atlantic or the Gulf or the Pacific, their cultures were different, similar, but different. And then the interior. And you can see the Asian influence on the Pacific side more. And you're thinking, God, and some of those sounds even sound like what it sounds like in China. You can kind of see, well, maybe all this was hooked together at one time and that, but you actually see it in the things that you are seeing. It's very cool, and I find it fascinating. The next thing is the Chapultepec Castle. Now, this is supposedly the only castle, real castle, in North America, which I didn't realize that. But it was originally built in 1725. It's kind of had up and down presence because Mexico has gone from being elitist to communist to people's government to it's okay to have a palace. But it is a gorgeous building with beautiful interiors, gorgeous gardens, and the Museum of Culture is also in there. So it's worth going there. There's a restaurant kind of close to there, so you could go there and then after that go eat or whatever. But that's right there, that beautiful park. Then also in this Condesa Roma area, and basically in Roma, is the Gallery OMR. And it is one of Mexico City's best contemporary art gallery. Very sophisticated, lots of changing exhibitions. And then they also have a permanent collection with Camille and Silver, and I think it's Aranda or Ananda. I'm not familiar really with Mexican contemporary art, but it is very, very, very good. I try to go to the classical art museums and the contemporary art museums wherever I go, whether it's in China or in Europe, Mexico, and see, are they anything alike, or is there something, a universal thread that's always there or whatever? Or is it like what I saw in the Middle East, looking like what I saw in England, especially in the contemporary world, because the contemporary art, it's all about new boundaries and new consciousness and new portals of ideas. And so I like to see if you ever see the kind of the same thing going on. So, but this is a really fine gallery. And here again, this is to show you there is such a focus in Mexico City on art and culture. In America, sadly, we think, oh, Hispanics, they love food and they can get real rowdy and they're real hard workers. I mean, you don't have an idea of how refined Mexico and Mexicans, especially in Mexico City, are and their appreciation and their ability to do so many things well in the different arts. So it's wonderful to see. If you like contemporary art, this is a must-do as far as eating, where to eat in Roma and Condesa. One of the places that is the hippest place in this area is called Mercado Roma. And this is kind of like a ultra cool food hall, but it's a covered market with little food counters, basically a gourmet food market. And they have all these little food vendors in there, but very high quality. And some of the finest restaurants in Mexico City have like a little bay in here. El Moro, you can get those great churros and Consuela's there, Spanish wines, Mexican wines. I mean, you don't realize Mexico has some really good wines. Yes, they do. It's like something you would go to in New York City or New Orleans. I mean, really well done, people love it, and it's a must-do in terms of where you want to eat. And you could actually eat there every day because there's so many different little vendors there, and there's a lot of people there. It's a fun place to be in. The next eating suggestion is that not actually a specific restaurant, but it is take a food tour. Now, I know a lot of people have never been on food tours, and they probably wouldn't even consider it. Well, I've been hooked on food tours for about the last 7 years because you get so much out of a food tour. Not only most food tours, you get obviously the food, and you try a lot of different food, and you get some background on food preparation, etc. But you go to different restaurants and get history along the way. You learn about the culture, how it relates to food. And you really do pick up a lot of things on the periphery doing these food tours. Well, in Mexico City, you need to definitely do a food tour because the food, like I said, in Mexico City is divine. There are two really good food tours, I think. One is called Eat Mexico. The other one is Eat Like a Local. Both great options. What I like about them is they don't take more than 6 people in a group. So they go to more places. You bond with the people. The whole group is easy. There's a lot of interaction with the guides. And the quality is just much, much higher. It's more expensive, but that's all right. You pay for this really high quality. So it's just not like a tourist thing. It's really money well spent and time well spent. What they do is you'll go to all kinds of different restaurants, street food. You'll eat every type of taco there is. Fish, tongue, beef, pork, chicken, veggie, taco. I mean, they make so many different tacos. And some of them are bigger, some of them are finger tacos. And what makes the tortilla or the mez, how they do it. Oh, they show you all kinds of things and how to discern. Then also you'll be taken through markets and taste all these exotic fruits that you never even knew existed. Beautiful flowers and all kinds of different things in these markets. Also, even to some of the fondas, which a fonda is like a home-style kitchen where a family will do. And you could never do that. Or, I mean, you could probably get your concierge to figure it out. But the bottom line is, this is a great 3.5-4 hours. You do a lot of walking, but you learn a lot about the Mexican culture, food heritage, and basically the gastronomic culture. So, highly recommend it. Eat Like a Local or Eat Mexico. As far as restaurants, there's one called Azul Condesa. This is traditional Mexican food with a modern presentation and a lot of attention to detail. You'll see in Mexico City, you'll either have the traditional Mexican restaurant or the Mexican restaurant that is traditional in terms of ingredients, but modern way of cooking or presentation, kind of an old modern fusion. And then you'll have Mexican ingredients or cooking techniques fused with Japanese or international, and you come up with this new hybrid of whatever. There's so many eating scenes in Mexico City. Well, maybe New York City has more because it has so many different ethnic groups, you know. But Mexico City is like hightailing it right behind with the food scene. But Azul Condesa, it's also known for its mole, great mezcal drinks. Mezcal can be either real kind of herbal bitter, or if you've got somebody who really is into craft cocktails, they infuse it with all these other different flavors and they balance it out and it becomes very sophisticated. So this place is known for their great mezcal drinks, very affordable, indoor-outdoor seating, which you'll see this in a lot of restaurants in Mexico, whether they're modern restaurants or old world. They love this indoor, outdoor, especially courtyard seating, but have a roof over them. So even if it's raining, they can still eat. But it's nice, and it just has some kind of atmosphere. I guess it dates back to some of the Spanish colonial period. They like that kind of indoor-outdoor feeling, I guess. But bottom line, if you want high class and not be snooty, Azul Condesa is that. So you get it all there, basically. The last one is El Mirador, and it's just east of the Chapultepec. Please, I'm so sorry I'm messing that up. Park. But this is a refined Mexican cantina. Now, this is an actually cantina. It was first opened in 1904, and it's still going strong.
Wow.
It is great for lunch. It's supposed to have to die for ceviche. I didn't have that. Beef tongue, tacos. Like, the Mexicans eat a lot of different things you'd never think. Grasshoppers, ants, octopus, all kinds of stuff. Deer in chili sauce. Oh, hot chili sauce. That, I bet you that is out of this world. So those are my restaurant recommendations, or my food recommendations. All, I think, excellent. Can't go wrong. Then for a night scene, if you want to go out, supposedly, now I didn't do this, but I want to mention it because it's supposed to be mega cool. There's a bar in Roma called M.N. Roy. Roy's my maiden name.
Oh, that's right.
But it's the hottest, most exclusive bar and nightclub in Mexico City. It was actually named after the founder of the Mexican Communist Party. He was Indian, matter of fact, from India. But this place is very elusive. It's got this funky
exclusivity kind of.
Well, it's like this decrepit, funky pink facade, like an ice cream parlor. Oh, you I open see. Them, okay. And then it's this super cool, modern design and amazing cocktails, live DJ music. So sophisticated. I mean, if you want to go to the place, M.N. Roy is where you go. Those are my tops in terms of where to eat, where to stay in Roma Condesa. I didn't get into the shopping in this area because it's kind of like all the same as you would get in the historic centro. You'll see some mercados, some markets, but I didn't find anything that stood out, and I stayed in this area. Was not bad. There was a market right down the street, but I saw it like in Coyoacan. I saw it, the same stuff in the historic centro. So you'll kind of see it. And so I didn't want to really pinpoint anything because I didn't personally see anything that really stood out. Okay. Then the last neighborhood is Polanco. And Polanco is the Beverly Hills of Mexico City. I mean, this is where the upscale shopping is, the fabulous, most fabulous restaurants and hotels. Also, the embassies are located there. And many of the city's most important museums now are there. I mean, this place, you think, oh, you the historic center of Mexico City, that's it. Oh, no, there is a whole new world in Polanco. I mean, it is super chic and super cool in a way that you've never experienced it anywhere else. All the major cities, there's a special way to do Mexican chic and Mexican cool, and it's very, very nice. I loved it. Well, obviously, this is where the super rich live, the politicians, celebrities, artists. This is where they live and play. So, I mean, you could see anybody who's who walking down the street in Polanco. Even the name Polanco was named after an aristocratic Spanish family. So when you head to Polanco, you just know you're going into the rarefied air.
Ooh la la.
Yeah. And really, it started developing in the 50s through the 80s, and people started leaving Condesa and Roma And they wanted something new and more modern. So they built these modern mansions, high-rise condos, luxury apartments, fabulous office towers, really some of the most fantastic architecture in the city and in Latin America is in Polanco. I mean, it is something else. And what I found about Mexico and Mexicans, they're like any other Latin country or Spain. They have a lot of pride. And so when they do something, it is beautiful. They have this sophisticated, refined kind of touch to their eye that comes out in anything aesthetic. And the architecture, oh, some of this new architecture is just, oh, it's just really fine. Okay, where to stay in Polanco that won't knock your wallet to the street? Amazingly, it's not expensive. It's more expensive than anywhere else. The hotels that I have picked out are not at all what I consider expensive. I mean, Paris is expensive. Singapore is expensive. London is expensive. But not Mexico City, even its finest hotels. So we'll start out with the Intercontinental Presidente of Mexico City, which is really kind of a little outside of Polanco, more by Chapultepec Park. I'm getting better. Mm-hmm. But it's considered Polanco. It's $197 a night. It's modern. It's been recently updated, so it's got the freshness again. It's got your spa, your gym, a hair salon, restaurants. So for $200, you're going to get a very nice hotel. So that's one option. Then you have the Hyatt Regency, which I think this is kind of more like a business hotel, but a little bit nicer. It's modern, stylish. The rooms are really elegant. I've never stayed there, but they're supposedly all white, and they have a pop of color either in the fabrics or on the art. It's a very new look in the way that their rooms are. Pool, great spa, fitness center. I think this is like an upscale business hotel. Then you've got the W Polanco. Now, this is hip. This is $260 a night, near everything, ultra modern, great spot. This is like probably one of the W's best hotels is in Polanco. And then the best one, I think, is JW Marriott. It's only $269 a night, but it's modern with a traditional touch. It still is rooted in that traditional kind of Mexican feel. It's near everything. It has a big library, or it's got a library in the hotel. It's kind of like the real old world Mexican hotels, but more modern, but still with those elements in it. Great bar, indoor, outdoor dining. They even have a satellite bistro, Brasserie Lip, which is a very famous bistro in Paris, on right there on the Saint-Germain-des-Prés, that area, that square. And I've eaten at Brasserie Lip. I mean, the steak tartare, everything there's to die for except the waiters. They are the snootiest waiters in the whole wide world. But the food is fabulous. They have a Brasserie Lip in this hotel. Now, that's telling you, they're wanting to be really snooty with their food options. And rooftop pool that is heated all year round. So, I mean, you can swim any day of the year. And pillow top mattress.
Finally, your mattress.
Yes, because like I said, be prepared when you go to Mexico. They like harder mattresses. I guess they've grown up that way. So a soft mattress, they go, oh my God, this feels awful. Well, people are used to it. Those hard ones, they think, oh, God, we haven't had these kind of mattresses in 35 years. But so that is my best selection, I think, for the area that's still affordable, that is luxury. Okay, things to do. This museum, I mean, people travel to Mexico City just to go to this museum. It's the Soumaya Museum. It was built by Mexico's wealthiest man, and he's actually been touted as the wealthiest man in the world.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say he's the world's wealthiest man.
Carlos Slim. And it is his private art collection that he has housed there. Over 66,000 pieces of art. And let me tell you, that's a collector. That is somebody who has so much money, they don't know what to do with it. That is a lot of art. It's mainly Latin American and European art, but it has East Asian and everything in there. But you'll see all the best, Renoir, Picasso, Dali, Van Gogh, the Mexican artist, Diego Rivera, Rufina Tamayo, and Frida Kahlo. Architecture of this building is stunning. When you go into Polanco and you see this building, you go, oh, what is that? When I see this building, it looks like the torso of a woman from, say, under the breast to the top of the legs. It's just that curve. It's a curve. And it's all done in hexagonal aluminum tiles. In fact, he owns the aluminum plant that the tiles were specifically made. His son-in-law designed it. This building is gorgeous, and he dedicated it to his wife. Her name was Sumaya. So this place, it's got so much art that there's actually two buildings to it, but you probably spend the whole day. I mean, really and truly. If you want to just try to absorb everything, but it's not on the Louvre or the Hermitage status yet. But let me tell you, if he lives long enough, he might buy everything. He can't buy everything. But let me tell you, he is something else. And he's doing it for many reasons. First of all, he obviously loves aesthetics and art, but he wants Mexico to be sophisticated and to be exposed to the best. And he believes that Mexico has such a great destiny and future and has had a very interesting past. And he wants to foster Mexico to really just rise more and more. So this is one of his gifts, really, to probably his maker. He believes in sharing it and sharing it with the people, et cetera. And it's spectacular. It really is. Now, another museum, not quite as out of this world because it doesn't have that many pieces of art.
But well, it's hard to compete with that. Come on.
Yeah, but let me tell you, it is the largest, the Musea Jumex. It was built in 2013. Also has very distinctive architecture, but very different than the Sumaya Museum. But it's the largest private collection of contemporary art in Latin America. This is also a very significant museum, but it has Warhols and Cy Twombly's, Damon Hirst, and a lot of different contemporary Latin American artists in there. Those were not. But the bottom line is it's very significant. So here again, this contemporary art that I talk about, you go in there, you know, you see all these different things and you think, what made them put all of these baseballs doing these crazy things? I mean, you know, but then you try to think, now, what is this trying to say? How do I feel about this? You know, and you'll be surprised. You might not get it right then or have any reaction, but later on you'll go, oh, yeah, that was, you know, something will click. And then I have one more museum, and I know I'm getting you a museum now, but here again, Mexico City has
got them, yeah.
Yeah, and that shows you how cultured this place is. And it filters down into everything. It filters down into the food, the way that people treat each other. I find that the Mexicans are very much to themselves and they're polite. They're not real wordy, not a lot of English spoken everywhere. But I found them to be very industrious to begin with and quite nice, but not real open and, you know, hey, how you doing?
Or gregarious.
No. But I didn't feel, like I said, at any time unsafe or that I shouldn't have come here or something like that. Okay, the last one is the Museo Rufino Tamayo, And this one is actually also in the Chapultepec Park, but it's more near Polanco. And Tamayo was a printmaker and painter, and he was very famous, like Diego Rivera, for his murals. And in this museum that he basically created is his art and the art that he's collected. And he's collected a lot of contemporary art, Picasso, Leger, and also this building won a design award. I keep talking about Mexican contemporary architecture, but here again, these people that are interested in creating new urban spaces, new urban structures, the new Mexico City. I mean, they want it to be cool, chic, in their way, very uplifting. And it is. It does it. It's got the stamp all over it, but it is very fine and very refined. So he's an artist that he created this museum. It's really kind of a gallery, but they call it a museum. You should go to it. It's very important. The shopping. All I can say is watch your wallet. You can't get any better shopping than in Polanco. First of all, there's a street, the Avenida Presidente Masaryk. This is Mexico's Champs-Élysées. I mean, it is the most expensive and famous shopping street in Latin America. I'm telling you, it has all of the world's best designer goods and Mexican goods, coupled with restaurants and various other offices and everything, Rolls Royce dealerships and everything else. But you can spend the whole day on that street walking up and down. And even if you don't buy anything, it's something to see. Kind of like Avenue Montaigne in Paris or Champs-Élysées. Champs-Élysées has changed now than it did, but this is something else. Plus, it's got this little Paisaje Polanco, and it's kind of like what you see or what is in West Palm Beach. They have these little courtyards where these courtyards have all these little boutiques in them, these really upscale, one-of-a-kind designers that will design things specifically for you. Oh, you know, that's in there. Then this place, this next place that I'm getting ready to tell you about, absolutely, completely knocked me to the floor. And I love to shop. Now, I'm tight with my money in terms of really spending it on designer goods, but I will. If I love something, love it, love it, love it, I will sacrifice to get it, okay? And sometimes it's just retail therapy, I hate to say it, or it's, I never really need it, but it's so beautiful that I cannot live without it. But this place is called El Palacio de Hierro. Now, actually, this day that I went to get a feel for it, I took the hop-on, hop-off bus, and it was about 2 o'clock, and they stopped in front of this El Palacio de Hierro. And I thought, oh, this is a nice place. I'll go in here and see the shops that they have in here, because I thought it was a shopping center, and get a nice bite to eat in there, because I knew there would be something really nice in there. It had started to rain, so I couldn't walk down Avenida Presidente Masaryk or whatever. So I thought, well, while it's raining, I'll go in here, and this looks beautiful. I mean, the building is so gorgeous, this contemporary architecture with kind of this pyramid-looking thing. It looks like a piece of sculpture. Well, I walked in there, and they have attendants there. And they ask you, may I help you and everything. I thought, well, this is a shopping center. What? No, it is a store. And in this store, they have all these storefronts, Gucci, Chanel. They're not just little sections or departments. They look like storefronts, but very beautifully done. All in an air-conditioned space, and then the makeup counter, the way it done. And she explained to me it was based off of some kind of ancient design or something in the ceilings. And I mean, this place is a temple like for the most fabulous shopping in one little area. in the most beautiful space I've ever been to anywhere in the world. I mean, they might have it in Tokyo. They don't have it in Paris. It is to rival Harrods and Galeries Lafayette and Bergdorf's, but it's bigger than Bergdorf's. And the space is new. So the way they did it, oh, if you want to really go and blow some money, or somebody who's very wealthy want to really do some shopping, this is where you go, because it's got everything right here in 65,000 square feet. I mean, it's big, but it's not that big. But they have all of the best, and it's so refined in that space. As well as, I found my restaurant in there. There is an older restaurant in the back. Well, it's not older. It was actually the original restaurant was there before the store. And it burned down, and they ended up deciding to bring it back. And I'm so sorry, I forgot the name of it. But all you have to do, if you happen to go there, ask one of the ladies who are the greeters where there's like a place where you can get some really fine coffee and cafe, and then this restaurant. Mm. Oh, this restaurant is wonderful. I sat outside. It's indoor outside again, and I had this wonderful waiter with a napkin on his arm and the whole thing. I mean, you know, I felt like somebody Evita or whatever. I mean, it was so nice. I mean, it was really nice. And the restaurant was actually not that expensive. That's what's so wonderful about Mexico. For Westerners, you get such a great exchange rate. So, I mean, you don't mind. You're not looking at the menu at the cost. You're just saying, oh, yeah, I want this, that, and the other. That's as good as shopping could ever be, if you like high-end stuff. Then, where to eat in Polanco? Well, this is ridiculous to even start. I mean, it is. They have so many fabulous places. I feel bad about recommending the three that I'm going to recommend. And they're on most every list that you see because they're so famous. Mm. They're so out of this world famous. The first one is Pujol. And it's really, if not the most famous Mexican restaurant, it's definitely in the top three. But it was way up in the top 50 restaurants in the world. It consistently ranks there. Their celebrity chef is Enrique Olivera. He's like our emeralds in the United States. His life, he started out doing street food. Now he's doing haute Mexican cuisine. I mean, he does very unusual dishes, but sophisticated Mexican milieu, whether it's how he prepares it to how he presents it, the whole thing. He was really one of the first chefs in Mexico City to really try to be the greatest chef in the world. He was really pushing the envelope, or one of the first. And some of his dishes, flying ants, he puts in octopus, suckling pig, tongue, all kinds of different things that you would go, oh, I don't ever want to do them. But let me tell you, they are a delicacy. You don't even know what you're eating. It tastes so good. Then he also has a 1,000-day aged mole. It's called mole madre. This is like, oh, gosh. It's like sacrificial or something when you go there to eat this. People make reservations to go to this and have this mole madre 5-6 months ahead. I mean, this is like religious food or something. I mean, it's very hard to keep it that good for that long. So basically, he's known for just complete obsession with detail. So detail-oriented. It's not obvious to the normal human being. But with that said, from the food presentation to the food preparation to the interiors, his whole goal is casual sophistication. No white linen tablecloths or anything that would be old world kind of Spanish or a meal environment presentation. No, his is very casual, sophisticated. And the menu can be multi-course tasting menu or small plates or whatever. So he was really kind of the first one that started this modern Mexican cuisine kind of foodie competition. That's what I think it's become. The next one is Quintonil, and their celebrity chef, Jorge Valero, he actually worked for Enrique. He has been named one of the best chefs in the world. This Quintonil is the 10th best Latin American restaurant, and his is a little bit different. His is contemporary Mexican cuisine with indigenous Mexican ingredients. So he's not into the octopus flying ants, corn, chili, beans, squash, mushrooms, avocado, those kinds of things. And then he puts his contemporary Mexican spin on it. One of the favorite things that he serves that is just like award-winning is his burnt corn ice cream. I mean, people just drool over this burnt corn ice cream. Now, that's really only in an upscale, modern, foodie Mexican restaurant would you get burnt corn ice cream, but great. Then another one. Now, this place is a little touristy, but it's in Polanco, and it's classic traditional Mexican dishes. It's called Hacienda de los Morales, and it was in a former farmhouse on a mulberry plantation. You feel like you're in a hacienda, and there's live music all the time, whether it's piano, string quartet, mariachi band. You get old world charm there. Indoor, outdoor seating. You'll see people celebrating special occasions. I mean, it is so old Mexico in Polanco, which is a much nicer presentation of old Mexico than in other areas of Mexico City. That's why I've mentioned it. Sometimes people say, oh, it's too touristy or what, and it's probably gotten a little bit that way. But still, I want to highlight it because it's Mexico City in the way it was, and it's still popular. Then the last thing in terms of food is the Tianguis in Park Lincoln. Now, I hope I said that right. But that word, basically in Aztec, means weekly street market. And every Saturday, this is a fabulous street market in Polanco. Fruits, vegetables, cheese, chili, flowers, spices. You know, there are markets all over Mexico City. When I tell you they're all over in all the neighborhoods, down all these different streets, if you just know where to look. But this one in Polanco is fantastic, and especially on Saturday. So don't overlook that, too, for tacos and guacamole and whatever you want. Just notice which vendor's got the longest line or whatever and go there because you know it's happening there. So if you're looking for the good life in Mexico City, I mean, Polanco is where it is. It is absolutely as sophisticated, she and vibrant and really upscale in a very nice way as any city that I've been in. And it's so refreshing to see this kind of environment in a city that you would never really feel like that it would have that. So it just shows you Mexico is on the move. The Mexicans, as their economy has gotten better, they're very, very hard workers, disciplined, and they want to get ahead. And I'm telling you, you can see it and feel it there. And the people that are very well educated and have more opportunity and have been successful in developing large companies and controlling natural resources and everything, they are helping spur Mexico to really evolve and thrive and be a real contender on all fronts in the modern world. So it's wonderful to go and to see that and experience that. So that's basically the broadcast for today. And I just want to say, remember when you're planning a trip to Mexico City, your best bet, again, is to focus on one of these areas at a time. Mexico City is massive. Just let that stick. Like my old professor said, tell him three times. It's massive. There's so much to do and so much to see and experience. The traffic is terrible. It's as bad as it is in any city in the world. But by focusing your daily activities in one area, you'll end up doing a lot more. You won't waste that much time. Oh, well, I'm going to do this. It's in Polanco this day. Then the next day, no, I didn't do this, so I'm going to Historics. You do that, you're going to be wasting 2 hours in traffic getting there, 2 hours getting back from your hotel, and you've wasted a half of your day. It's horrible. So focus on one of these three neighborhoods, the Historic Center, Roma Condesa, or Polanco. Doing that and doing everything you can in each neighborhood, unless you really want to go to the Sulamaya Museum or whatever, you just have to be prepared. You're going to waste a lot of time if you start darting from one area to the next area, especially in the same day. But by doing this little agenda like I've talked about, you'll get both the traditional side and the modern side of Mexico City and its culture. And again, I recommend at least a week to see most of the important things in these three areas. And really, I suspect if you decide to go and you spend a week, what will happen to you is the same thing that happened to me. I didn't do everything I wanted to do, and I fell in love with Mexico City. And I'm already planning my return. There were things that I could not do because I didn't realize how, first of all, bad the traffic was. And I was not quite as organized as I want to be. So you're benefiting from me trying to focus you, because it's very important. And bottom line, Mexico City really is a place that beckons many returns. It's so fascinating now. So that's it for today. I hope you've benefited from the information I've shared. And if so, as they say in the podcast world, please like, share, and subscribe. Thanks for listening.
Now that Astrid has focused your attention on Mexico City, we want to help you focus on your packing. You know what Astrid has to make that just a little bit easier? She has an amazing packing list. It's available for free, complimentary, on her website. All you have to do is go to astridtravel.com. Right there on the homepage is a place you can put in your email, and you'll be able to download that packing list right away. Like Astrid said, we do love our subscribers. We love everybody who listens to the show and gets something. And I just know that we're going to be sending people off to Mexico City after hearing this. So thank you, everybody. Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. We'll see you next time. Hasta luego.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or solo travel advisors, visit our website, astridtravel.com.